to your home for sports coverage without the bias. This is Totally Unbiased Sports with Josh and Kellen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Totally Unbiased Sports with Josh and Kellen. Sports are over. They're done.
Basically, yeah.
Sports are completely over, but at the same time, sports have started back up again. And we're in just a weird, we're in the weird transition time. We talked on this podcast, as did many others in their podcasts, shows, all of that, how great the playoffs were in the NHL and the NBA. And then we get just absolute stinkers of, and like, it's not stinkers of series for the championships, but it's a stinker of a series for the championship. You're really looking at, like, only if you were a fan of one of the, well, one of the two teams that won, are you like, yeah, that was a great series. Like, not really. I mean, basketball is a little different because Jokic kind of, like, you could at least enjoy that. But he didn't even play
it's
well.
Really, it's, well, he did play well. Like, he definitely did play well.
Not consistently.
No, consistently.
In the finals. He played his best basketball before the finals.
No, he played well. He was dominant the entire playoffs. That's just not true. But no, it was still like because of how dominant he was, it wasn't boring. That great of a series. I mean, there were a couple close games, don't get me wrong. But it's nothing in comparison to what the Stanley Cup finals were. I mean, 9-3 in game 5. For the championship, for all the marbles, that's terrible.
So, yeah, I'm not going to make excuses. I honestly think it maybe has a little bit to do with the fact that 4 of their players, including their best player, had broken bones.
That hurts.
I would like to take this moment to just say it. Most other sports, broken bones, you're not even playing. You don't even think about playing. Hockey, again, proved to be one of the tougher sports.
Josh, question on that. And not yes. Like I'm not calling hockey players not tough because they definitely are. But is it easier to just like basically you use your equipment as like a cast and just play with that in hockey rather
if,
than over other sports?
It depends on what it's broken. If it's the ankle, then yes.
Okay.
Hockey players have
okay. But you shouldn't be playing on a broken ankle in
hockey.
Any
sport. Hockey players have a significant advantage with ankle injuries. I'm just going to say it. But in the case of Matthew Tkachuk's broken sternum that he played on for a month and a half,
yeah.
No.
Oh, that was a month and a half?
It happened in the Boston series.
Oh, well, then why did he all of a sudden become a wuss in the Stanley Cup finals?
I think it probably has something to do with the fact that he played with a broken sternum forever and then got lit up in the Stanley Cup finals is really where I would go with it is like, you know, the broken bone didn't heal. Okay.
The broken bone did not heal while he was playing sports.
He continued to play. Sport. He continued to play one of the most physical sports you can possibly play with a broken sternum. And yeah, he got hit a couple times and it didn't.
Yeah, I guess it happens.
So I'm not making excuses for Florida because they were just top to bottom a worse team. And like, Matthew Tkachuk was clearly not himself in that series. And he does have a lot to do with the success of the Panthers. I just think Vegas was a better team. They went all in. Kudos to their owner and their management and everything. They went all in. They said they did not care about draft picks and they traded every draft pick possible way to build a winning team and they won. So congrats to Vegas. Phil Kessel is now a 3-time Stanley Cup champion.
Yes.
Didn't play for Vegas though.
All right, Josh, bad on you for not that should have been the headline of the show.
Well, the reason it wasn't is because Vegas didn't realize how great Phil Kessel is and he wasn't in the lineup. So that's why it had to sit back because it's actually Vegas's fault because I would have been all over it, but Vegas misused my man.
Okay.
And
I'll allow it.
So Phil Kessel, 3-time Stanley Cup champion. And I mean, I really don't have much to say about this series because it was such a dud of a series and it wasn't fun to watch as a hockey fan. The games weren't very close. Florida was just outmanned, outgunned. Bobrovsky, I've been saying it forever. He finally was not superhuman, and it broke down. Like, everything broke down for the Panthers. They just weren't there. Now, what if I'm a Panthers fan, all four of you guys, you can listen to this. It's probably not going to get better, because this team really isn't in the, you know, this isn't one of those teams that you're like, oh, they're just a couple pieces away. Because, like, their team last year was better than their team this year, and their team next year is probably going to get a little bit worse than this one. It's just getting, it's hard to sustain that in Florida. I mean, they're going to try. They're going to have to go, like, you're going to kind of have to make the decision now. Like, do we think we can legitimately win a Stanley Cup? We were just very close. But, like, watching it, they're still so far off of where Vegas was that I don't know that it's feasible, because I don't know how you can get to that gap and close that gap. But it was a heck of a physical playoffs. I absolutely loved it. We kind of got a little bit back to old-time hockey. I mean, people were just taking bodies at will. Whenever you could, you were hitting anything that moved, and it was a fantastic thing for me to watch. Final sucked. That tends to happen sometimes in sports. That's what happens a lot of times with Cinderella stories. We see it in March Madness all the time. You finally meet the big guns. College football playoff, another great example. You get maybe a Cinderella story, and they're going to end up getting absolutely assaulted when it matters. Yeah, TCU. So it's just, it was unfortunate that it was one of those. It really sucks for Miami that they lost two championships in back-to-back nights.
Yeah, but I'll probably never feel only bad for the city they of Miami. It's an awful sports town.
I feel it is. Well, that's what really Denver. We got one good sports town out of all the finals, and
Denver.
Denver is
they're
the
on
best.
A little bit of a hot streak right
they
now.
They are
too. Yeah,
they really are. And I would just like to point out, if anyone, whoever said it, I don't know who it was, said that Vegas has the best fans in hockey last night. I heard it. Absolute joke. Because Eddie Olczyk, I like him. I'm going to say something bad about him right now, but I do like him. Okay. Constructive criticism. He's calling the game, and it's like a minute left. Obviously, the game's a blowout. They pan to outside the stadium where it's Vegas. Everyone's just going where the crowd is. They're all just standing there, and Eddie's like, it's absolute pandemonium out there. And you can see like a group of 20 people with their hands in the air. And like the thousands of other people are just like, no. I mean, in the arena, everyone got on their feet and everything. And then here's where I know that Vegas is not a hockey town. They will never be a hockey town. This moment right here, excluding last year or the year before when Bettman had COVID, I've never seen this not happen in my entire life. Bettman came out and gave an entire speech. He didn't get booed once.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad look. That's
that is
a really
bad, bad
look.
Sports town. That
also,
you,
like, I feel like they probably needed to get a couple more losses in the finals.
Yeah,
before they could like really appreciate this victory. Like, they've been around 6 years.
Yeah, that's, and it's just it's
that's not difficult.
It feels wrong. It kind of sucks. I mean, kudos to them. Like, the players on the team, I don't want to discount them, but like, God, I mean, it was bad. So that's really the NHL ones. I don't want to harp on it too much. So we can move on to the NBA right now. But
yeah, NBA Finals happened, and the Nuggets win in 5 games. Basically, all my predictions after game two were 100% incorrect, and I need to go back on everything I said on Jimmy Butler, because I was 100% wrong about him too. Just a dud of a performance in the finals, an absolute dud. He does not have that dog in him, apparently. But Jokic, Joker, all-time performance, probably best finals performance since Giannis, maybe even better. Averaged, I think, a triple-double in the finals. He's the first player in NBA history to lead the playoffs in points, assists, and rebounds, which is crazy. So he's doing it in all facets of the game. And you kind of could tell where the direction of Game 5 was going when you saw that the Nuggets were like 0 for infinity from three-point range, and they were still like right in the game. They were just a better team, more complete team. The Heat, you know, their luck kind of ran out.
Yeah.
You kind of see it like, oh, maybe a team made almost entirely of undrafted players is going to like run out of luck eventually, even though the Nuggets have like they have success with some later draft picks, and especially Jokic, who was a second round pick, best second round pick of all time. So
he was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial.
Yeah, let's not forget. We get reminded all the time. He was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial. But just a really, really dominant performance. He's now like where Giannis is in terms of career accolades, two MVPs, finals MVP, and a finals ring. So that's those two are on par with each other. I think he's past Giannis now. And he's obviously the best player in the game currently. So, Josh, what were your thoughts on the series?
So my thoughts, and again, you know, God forbid we say something nice about the team that won. I would like to just actually talk negatively about the Miami Heat.
There we go. Because
to your point, they were just god-awful. They were so, like, it's now Frauda. That's the state they're from is Frauda. After the Panthers and the Heat, it's bad. Jimmy Butler, that finals was his DNA test. He is not Michael Jordan's son.
He's not.
We know.
Confirmed. Actually, you know what? I saw Jeffrey Jordan play some basketball at Illinois for a couple of years. He's not that good either. So he could still be his son. He's just not Michael Jordan.
Yeah, so he's not Michael Jordan. He didn't have it. Has it come out if he's injured? Is he injured?
I don't know. I think he's just tired. I think he's like 34 years old and just ran out of gas.
So it was just embarrassing. It was an absolute embarrassment. Look, I can't always win with hockey. And now I'm actually trying to follow the NBA, and this is what Miami does?
Yeah.
This is what Miami does?
Come on.
Really? You can't even give me a good finals that I'm like, oh, yeah, that was cool? No.
Yeah.
Every time I tried to even follow it, you guys are losing. And you're getting blown out. Like, not blown out, but blown out.
No, yeah, like, blown out. We'll say it. I mean, game five wasn't a blowout, but the series overall was. And it's, yeah, it was embarrassing. I mean, like the one thing was like, you look at Miami throughout the playoffs and like, especially the Celtics series, no team could put them away. They just kept clawing their way back to the point of winning the series. And they had a couple opportunities to do that against Denver. And Denver just put them away. That's the difference. That was the difference in the Nuggets compared to all these other teams, and that's what puts them a step above all these other teams. They're the best true team in the playoffs, and a lot of that comes from Jokic. And you're seeing, like, I don't know if there's going to be a shift in the way that basketball is played because, you know, players like Jokic do not grow on trees. You're not going to find another Jokic. But you could because, like, remember when the Warriors won their first championship? Everybody was saying before that, can you win an NBA Finals, like, shooting mostly three-pointers?
Yeah.
And then the entire NBA shifted to that because they won. And, of course, and that's, like, the way it's won now. And the reason that's so effective is because – you want to be able to start your offense as close to the basket as possible, which makes sense. You get higher percentage shots the closer you are to the basket. But if you can make the shots that are far away from the basket with as much consistency as those shots that are close to the basket, that's even more valuable because a three is obviously worth more than two.
Because, math lesson, everybody.
Yeah.
Three greater than two.
Let's go back to first grade. Three is greater than two.
You simply get more points. So I would want to do it. I mean,
yeah.
Why not?
And
you get more points.
Yeah. But with the shift, the way that you see the Nuggets play is Jokic is like a point guard. So a point guard, he's starting his offense at the top of the 3-point line typically if he's lucky. If the defense isn't forcing him back enough. If you get it into the post, he can do anything with the basketball. He could score, he could pass, he could shoot, whatever he wants to do. Drive to the basket. So your offense is immediately starting in the middle of the court, right at the top of the key at worst. So you're already in a position to shoot a high percentage shot or dish it out for a high percentage three. So That's what makes the Nuggets so effective. I don't know if like we're ever going to find a center that can pass like that, but I can tell you this much. Teams are going to be looking for that player.
Yeah.
I mean, and so this is, they're going to be looking across Europe for that player.
So this is where I slightly disagree with what you had said earlier, in that you said, well, there will never, you will never find another Jokic. And I'm going to tell you, you're wrong.
Okay.
I would guarantee you there are going to be like 10 to 15 Jokic's found in the next year by some scout that's trying to make a name for himself. Yeah. It's not going to pan out.
No,
it won't. But I'm telling you, they will be found, Kellen.
Well, you're probably right about that, because if you look at Jokic, they're going to search any body type, and they're going to look at some big fat dudes in Eastern Europe.
Well, he literally
is not going to be in basketball shape.
He literally goes like, what did he say about being a fat kid or something like that?
I don't know, but he did say fat people win. So it's something along those lines. And it's a good quote.
How did that make you feel?
What do you mean, how did it make me feel? I don't know what you're talking about.
Because it made me laugh, and I can't relate to it. I didn't know. Did you have the same feeling to it? Or?
So you saw that quote, and you immediately thought of me?
No, I didn't. Saw that quote, and I was like, wow.
I'll be honest. It was an uplifting quote.
Like, I was kind of like, part of me was like, should I just stop working out? Like, this is easier.
Yeah.
If he's going to pave the way, I'm not going to work out.
So, like, you're saying you had zero connection to that quote. I'll be honest, I had a little bit of connection to it.
Okay.
So, yeah, I did feel something. I don't know what I felt, but I felt something. Yeah, you're right about that.
Fine.
So, Jokic is also, like, the most unhappy NBA champion I've ever seen in my life.
I love
it. It's great.
Like, I don't know. This is, like, the best comparison I can come up with. So, You're talking about The Last Dance and everything, right? We all watched it. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. Michael Jordan, in tears, holding the trophy, just like pure, like he's so happy. It is everything he ever wanted. And then you have Jokic, who is closer to shedding tears because he's upset that there's going to be a parade in 2 days. And it's fantastic. Like, he's getting the MVP award. He literally just picks up his daughter and walks away after, and they just don't know what to do with the trophy. He didn't even take the trophy. Yeah. And I don't know if he said it now or at another point, but he had a quote like about how like basketball's like just work or something. And if he was like, when he's doing basketball, he just like dreams of, you know, taking care of his horses. Then he's like, but I bet if I was probably taking care of my horses for work, I would dream of playing basketball. And like, the dude just wants to go back to Serbia and be with his horses.
Yeah. It really makes you wonder like if he, like how good he would be if he did have like a Michael Jordan level mentality, because he obviously does not have that, but he's just still the best basketball player in the world. I mean, he obviously cares about basketball, and I think a lot of that comes from him being just an incredible teammate. He cares about his teammates, and he wants to see them do well, and that's why he's such an unselfish player. But, yeah, it makes me wonder, like, hey, if he didn't care about his horses so much, would he have already won a championship, like, even earlier than that?
I don't know. There's a chance. Put it on a poster, though. The work's done. I'm going home. Like,
yeah, after Thursday. You still like, got to wait.
Like, everything he did after winning an NBA championship is, like, all the things he said in a press conference are things that, like, we say probably every day at work to our coworkers at, like, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like, basically. We're done. We're tired. We've worked today. Like, let's go home. Oh, man, I have to stay for 3 more hours. That sucks. Like,
well, he didn't, like... For me, the cool part about winning a championship would be like, oh, cool. I get to be the most hammered I've ever been in my entire life. He didn't even seem excited for that part. So I don't know. He's a long way from home.
He couldn't even figure out the champagne.
No.
Did you see? Yeah. Oh.
It was the most pathetic champagne.
And he just owned it. Like, he just kind of was like, yep, no, I'm actually done.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He job done. He finished it. Mission accomplished. He did what he wanted to do. Just going back to the series, we did have a lot of good performances from Nuggets players. KCP played some great defense. Jamal Murray was a great number two throughout the series. Aaron Gordon, he got his ring, and yeah, he was actually celebrating. He was celebrating with fans in the streets, which, like, if I'm the Nuggets owner or GM or anyone, coach, I'm probably not liking seeing that, like, just in a big mosh pit with fans jumping up and down. That's just asking to get injured.
I kind of felt like that happened slightly quickly after the game, like a little quicker than you would think.
Yeah, like there's still like way too many fans outside the stadium. Like you're going to get mauled out there, dude. It was weird, but it was an awesome celebration. And I'm happy for the Nuggets, happy for their players. On the flip side, we'll talk about Miami a little bit. We'll talk about Jimmy Butler a little bit more. And like the fact that if Bam Adebayo is your best player in the NBA Finals, you're not going to win those NBA Finals. Jimmy Butler had to be better. And you could see him early in the game, he was shying away from the moment. He was passing the ball a lot, even like when he had pretty good post position. He had a good looks. I mean, good for him for being unselfish, but you gotta want it, and you gotta want to be the guy a little bit more. And he didn't have that at all.
He does not want to be the guy. He wasn't there. And big time players make big time plays. He's clearly not, at least in this point of his career, a big time player. And it was kind of embarrassing for him. I would be slightly embarrassed if I were him.
And
how many times did he promise they were going to win the next game?
Yeah, a lot of times.
Like,
it's cool. He was backing it up throughout the playoffs, and then he just couldn't do it against the Nuggets. And you saw two crucial moments. He forced a three when they were down three with enough time left to have two possessions, and he missed that shot badly. And then, of course, the turnover at the end of the game when they needed a bucket. He was driving to the basket. It should have been a travel, and they missed that. But then he kicked it out and he turned it over anyways, right to KCP. So he had big mistakes and crucial moments in the game too. So that's
the moment was too big for him.
It was,
and it happens to people.
Hand up, I was wrong 100%. And I don't think I've ever been this wrong about a take. Like I said, this series is going seven, and I said Jimmy Butler is cut from the same cloth as Michael Jordan, and I was very much wrong about both.
Yeah, you were pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm not the basketball guy, so I'm the hockey guy. It's okay.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I don't know. I would have maybe stuck a little bit more to my route that I took with the Stanley Cup Finals, where I just hated both teams and was like, this really sucks. I'm not going to make any bold predictions one way or the other.
Yeah, it was wishful thinking on my part.
And so, I don't know. Congrats to Denver. Sneaky, like you said, sneaky good sports town. They're winning a lot. Miami's losing a lot, and it's just sports being over just kind of sucks.
Is Miami the new Philadelphia?
No.
Okay.
They don't care enough there.
That's
what sucks. What really honestly to me sucks the most about this, Denver cares. Vegas, those people are going to forget about this once the party ends. The parade's going to be sick. They're going to just forget. Florida, they've already forgotten about the Panthers. I mean, there's no chance they even remembered.
I don't even think they knew that they were playing in the Cup Finals.
Collectively, there's probably 1,000 people that are like genuinely still upset about the Panthers.
Yeah. Well, this is the fan base that left early for Game 6 against the Spurs before the Ray Allen shot. So you're not going to get any sympathy from me there. I'm never going to feel bad for Heat fans. And for Heat fans, you get to wake up in Miami the next morning. For Philadelphia fans, you have to wake up in Philadelphia after all that shit you've been through.
Yeah.
That sucks.
That really, really does suck. Also, one thing touching, going back, and I haven't been on Twitter enough today. Like, I only go at work. Don't have Twitter on my phone yet, but I am back slightly on it. No tweet of the week yet, though.
You haven't liked any of my tweets, but that's cool.
I haven't seen them because I only see
it. No, that's cool. That's whatever.
So, only on my laptop. I log in. I go old-fashioned now when I'm logging on.
Okay. I did just glaze past the fact that you said you are only on Twitter when you're at work.
Yeah. On my laptop.
What a productive guy.
I only go on Twitter. Well, I do it for work, okay, everybody? I do marketing.
Oh,
so
yeah. That's why you're
social media marketing, if you've ever heard of it, I don't know. Maybe you have. It's pretty big. Right
now. Why aren't you promoting the pod on Twitter then? I don't even remember our login information.
I don't know. It's pretty big right now, though. Yeah. It's probably saved somewhere. What was I saying? I don't even know.
Something about being on Twitter.
Oh, I haven't seen on Twitter, but Bettman had a mini slip up. Well, like, he said, and I saw a few people, like, getting mad. ESPN, shocker, ESPN brought this up. They didn't miss this detail. Bettman said that that the Golden Knights were the first professional team in Las Vegas to win a title. And the Las Vegas Aces of the WNBA apparently won a title last year.
Okay.
So leave it to ESPN to get upset about that.
Yeah, Gary Bettman was still correct on that one. Sorry.
It's fantastic.
That does not count.
How funny is that? So I wanted to see how many people were big mad on Twitter over that.
Yeah, you need more than 20 people to show up to your championship parade. But
here's the thing. There aren't enough people that follow hockey. There's the overlap of people that are avid WNBA fans and avid hockey fans that they would be watching 10 minutes after the end of the game to listen to Bettman speak.
Yeah.
A very small percentile. If we were doing statistics, they would be outliers.
We didn't even need to get mad over this because nobody knew about it. Like,
ESPN did bring it up. ESPN brought it up.
ESPN.
I think it's funny. I just think it's hilarious because, I wanted to see if there were people getting mad about it. I realized that like this morning because someone, I did see on Twitter, like someone was like, Vegas gets its first championship. And someone replied with the Aces.
The day that ESPN has to lay off every single one of their employees is going to be the best day of my life. I swear.
It's going to be fantastic.
Oh, we need a bigger and better sports network than them. They're just awful.
Yes. The Unbiased Sports Network. Let's actually talk about sports networks for a second because I have like a hand up at work. I get a lot of ESPN viewership. My TV at work is still on ESPN right now. It just is there.
Same.
All day long. That's all their viewership. I think we should organize a boycott if every office in America just didn't leave ESPN on the TVs overnight and everything. How much do we think ESPN's ratings would drop?
Oh, they would plummet. Are you kidding me? Like that's I think that's half their viewers.
It has to be. Like, I don't watch it all day, but it's just on there, and then I change it. You know, I'm watching a sporting event, college baseball, World Series, whatever it is, like watching it, then I just leave it on.
Yeah.
Now they've got some PGA Tour, I'm going to have it on, and then it's just going to stay on. So I would love to find out, like, what the viewership is, what we get from ESPN. I don't know a way to do that, but maybe we do a little boycott action if there's a way to do it.
We'll start a boycott of ESPN. Let's see how much traction we can gain from our massive following that we have.
Yeah. No, I just – there's that. And then also, here's what's really driving me crazy. The headlines in sports are absolutely insane, and they're getting the exact reaction they want out of me. But, like, genuinely, Denver wins one championship, and you said – are they the next dynasty? They won one. We're in a span where there have been five. Kellen, I think, 5 years in a row, a different champion or something like that?
Yeah.
In the NBA? And you're saying, coming off of that, you're like, yeah.
Well,
are they going to be a dynasty?
What pisses me off is, like, you go and you turn on First Take the very next morning. And they're not even talking. They're not talking about Game 5. They're not talking about the Nuggets winning at all. They're not talking about how awesome Jokic was and all this other stuff. How awesome the team overall was. They're like, what's next? Who are the top five contenders for the NBA Finals next year?
It's because
we're not even like the offseason just hit. Like we can't even celebrate this team for a second. We got to talk about what's next. And it's part of like, I'm starting to think like it's always like the NBA, it's a storyline league. We've said
it
that a bunch.
It's all it is.
It's because of networks like ESPN because they don't know how to cover them correctly. They only know how to talk about the next thing and not what just happened. Not like this amazing, incredible player who averaged a triple-double throughout the regular season as a center, averaged a triple-double throughout the playoffs, and had one of the greatest runs you'll ever see. There's just no talk about it because they don't know. Like, they don't know what to do if a guy gives you, like, pretty plain answers in a press conference. They just don't. They're talentless there. They don't know how to turn something into anything.
It's so bad and it's so frustrating. They always come back to LeBron James, the Patriots, or Tom Brady on every single show. They're talking about Miami, and they're like, before the series, and the headline was, what organizations have Heat culture? Yeah. The Patriots were number one on the list, and they just talked about Tom Brady and the Patriots on a list of teams that have Heat culture. I'm not the smartest person by any means, but I would like to think if you are making a list of things that are Heat culture, wouldn't Heat culture be like Miami be the first and not like the fifth?
You think
the Penguins were on the list, by the way. Penguins have Heat culture, but like,
I wouldn't like that.
I don't know that anyone can define what Heat culture is, though.
No,
so,
just Heat culture, yeah.
It's just there. But like, how are and they're getting exactly what they want because we're sitting here talking about it.
Yep.
But like, how does that happen? And so ESPN.
ESPN's whole thing is like they're not even trying to talk about sports anymore. They're just trying to make us angry and talk about them now.
It's so bad. It's so bad, and it works, and I do it every single time. Like, yes, it's gonna work, but ESPN's tough.
I want to see Stephen A's like little, like he'll be yelling so hard. I just want to see his head explode on live TV. That would be
he's so annoying. He's so annoying.
If that dude lost, like I want like a crazy fan to, when they're doing one of those live shows, to jump over the railing and just take a knife and just slice off his tongue.
God,
I would love
that.
Stephen
A.
That'd be the best moment of my life.
Stephen A. is so annoying and it frustrates me so much. But I mean, I also want to talk about the breakup because there was an end. We had an end of an era, Kellen. Skip it, Shannon. They are done. There were tears shed. A lot of them.
By a lot of us.
They and them. They randomly end the show on a Tuesday. Yep. Why would we end it on? Why would we end it on a Friday or something?
Well, because they didn't have, like ESPN, they had nothing to talk about for the rest of the week because the NBA finals were over.
We go with Tuesday. Couldn't even get one more. And Kellen, what are you going to do to fill the void in the hole in your life now that Undisputed is no longer?
Yeah, I'm going to apply for the Undisputed opening. That's what I'm going to do to fill that void.
So they are going to keep the show named Undisputed and fill the void. Is that correct? They're going
to
try
I would expect that to happen. Like, you don't want to lose that brand. And they're just like, I mean, it's like when Skip and Stephen A broke up. They'll figure it out. Skip will find his footing. He'll find a new punching bag rather than someone that can actually talk to him and debate him. Which is what Stephen A. did when he got rid of Max Kellerman. Although Kellerman was kind of a punching bag.
Here's my next question. Who are we getting? Dream scenario, who do you put opposite Skip Bayless?
Dream scenario, Lou Holtz. I've missed that dude lisping his way through college football so much, and he's horrible. You can't understand a single thing that he's saying, and I just want to see Skip Bayless try to communicate with him, and I think that would be really funny.
That would be fantastic.
I'm just trying to think of the like worst people at talking, and he's one of the very worst people at it.
That would be great. If I could pick anything, here's what I'm going with. I am going with a mirror. I just want to put a mirror up.
Okay, you know what would be great is like you've seen the YouTube video of like Skip Bayless debating himself over like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, all this stuff. If they just had like Skip Bayless say something, and they just have all these like clips ready of him saying the exact opposite of what he just said. That would be great.
Oh, I would watch that. I'd actually would watch it. Full disclosure, I would watch it. It's fantastic. Yeah. But I mean, it's an end of an era. There's not much more you can say about it. RIP. RIP Skip.
Maybe they get Frank Caliendo, and he does like all the impersonations, and he just does an impersonation of Shannon Sharp the whole time.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be interesting. And that'd then be so whenever good. They need a guest on, he just impersonates that guest.
There would probably, I want to find out, like maybe if I comb through social media enough, I can find it. I need to find the undisputed super fans that are like genuinely sad about this and not like making fun of it ironically.
I have a couple in my life that are very sad.
Like, I just don't get, I don't get it. I don't get how you can enjoy any of that, but it's a dark time in sports media. We've got nothing to talk about but OTAs, and we can talk about the NFL.
What are we going to do next week?
Great. I'm so glad you asked, Kellen, because I have an idea.
Oh, let's go.
A brilliant idea.
I'm ready for it.
We're going to watch something. Don't know what it's going to be yet. Let's pick something. And we also still have the CFL, by the way, everybody, okay?
I'll be honest, I haven't been paying attention to my fantasy team.
Well, to be honest, someone didn't sign up, not you. Someone did. God, the Pirates are choking so hard. They're going to lose. Oh, my God. They're blowing a 5-1 lead. Oh, my God. They're so bad. The Cubs.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh.
They're getting lit up. It's now 5-4. The bases were juiced. Pitching clock violation to walk a guy in, and then they just gave up a 2-run single.
Yikes.
Yep, I'm not happy right now, but with this, what was I saying before that? Oh, yeah, let's find something to watch. Let's find an obscure one of these E60s. When does the Florida Gators thing come out? When does the Florida Gators thing come out?
Look that up.
That's soon.
I don't know when it comes out, but that'll be a good one because of all the criminals that they had on their team. Headed by Urban Meyer and Jesus Christ. Well, not Jesus Christ, but Tim Tebow.
Oh, it's in August. Okay, we'll do that in August. We're going to find a documentary or something. We'll find an E60, okay? Kellen, look through the E60s. Now that we've bashed ESPN, look through some E60s. See if we can find just a good... I want the most obscure E60 you can find. We're going to talk about it next week.
Okay.
Okay, and then I'll pick for the week after. I'll pick an E60.
Okay, so this is your idea, and you're putting it on me the first week. Got it. Okay.
Yes, because I know that you, like, you make things happen. I'm an ideas guy.
Okay, I like it.
Make it happen.
There we go.
I have a feeling that I genuinely kind of thought that you would have an E60 in mind. So
I could find one. I mean, we could always do the Joey. This is a 30 for 30 rather than an E60, but there is the Joey Chestnut. Actually, that one's really, it's Kobayashi centered, so I'm not.
I think I've already seen it.
Okay, we won't do that. We'll figure. Then that's more 4th of July if we ever want to do that anyway.
Yes.
So that's we'll put that on the back burner for now. But we'll have something to talk about.
We can go with a 30 for 30 if we need to.
Yeah,
we can watch it, but
we'll see. We'll see. We'll let you know. We'll review.
And this is a perfect opportunity for you to make me watch anything.
That's a good point. I like that. That is true.
As long as it's ESPN.
Okay. Netflix has some good sports.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be ESPN. Yeah. It needs to be like, I can't be spending like 5 hours on this though. Like, I can't go Last Dance.
Okay. Like, well, yeah. We're not watching 10 episodes.
Well, no. But I'm just saying, like, we can do episodes, we can break it up, but that's how we're going to fill the time. That's how we're going to fill the void. Thank you for asking. The Blue Bombers are 1-0. In conclusion.
My team.
The Bombers are 1-0. We're hot. We're feeling hot. Played fantastic. The Bombers troll game on Twitter is absolutely fantastic. They have some of the best memes. It's so great. Like, you got to go watch it. Everyone, get into the CFL. Just give it a whirl. It's on the CBS Sports Network now, which is fantastic, I think, for the sport. They signed a new TV deal in America, and it's great.
Oh, so, Frank the Tank is going to have a breakdown. The Yankees just stole home on the Mets.
Oh, I'm going to need to go watch that. But I'm glad you brought that up, because let's talk about the MLB a little bit. And the Yankees specifically, oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's tied. Oh, I'm going to vomit. This is so bad. Nope. Never mind. They got the throwing time. It's not tied yet. I want to talk about the Yankees, because they have an absolute hell of a week coming up. They got the Mets and the Red Sox back to back. Not that the Mets and the Red Sox are great teams by any means, but these are just the ones that are going to be marketed. And like this week, ESPN was probably just drooling looking at the schedule on this week, being like, this is going to be fantastic. You're going to have the Mets and the Yankees, Aaron Judge, all of this. And then they go and they play the Red Sox on the weekend, Sunday night baseball. Like, you know that everyone was just drooling over this entire week. And I just love that no matter what, there is going to be one fan base in all of these matchups that is just so upset and devastated that I'm going to get to personally just enjoy it. Like,
yeah.
It's going to be great.
Right now, it's all three, because they're all playing terrible baseball right now. I mean, the Red Sox are actually doing okay, but they're still last place in the AL East, which is a tough division.
The Yankees, but I love the route that Yankees fans take, where they're like, well, Aaron Judge is hurt.
Yeah.
And they're just like, that's it.
I mean, this is it's sad to see where the Yankees are at this point, because – I mean, it's not sad for me, but this is the team that everybody used to fear growing up. I remember they bought everyone. I look at their outfield. It was a guy I've never heard of, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who is terrible, and that's why I've heard of him, and Jake Bowers, who is terrible, and that's why I've heard of him. This is an awful outfield. That's supposed to be where you're putting your big bats usually if you're the Yankees, and I mean, this is just not – Carlos Rodon has still not pitched a single game for them. I don't know if he's ever going to pitch again. He got his bag from the Yankees, and he just might never play baseball again. He might just hunt the rest of his life. But,
wow, yeah.
Yeah, the Yankees have fallen from grace. The Mets are – I mean, they're just spinning out of control. And
it's fantastic.
The Tank has never been angrier.
No,
he might be angrier, but he seems pretty maxed out right now.
He's so down in the dumps. It's sad. I don't take any joy out of this at all.
I do.
I was trying to dance around that. I definitely
trying to be a better person than me.
I was trying to be a better person, but I would like to. There's a couple more MLB things. Well, I guess we can get into segments, because oh my God, the Pirates suck. Oh my God, they're now going to be losing. Oh my God, they're losing now. They were up 5-1 going into the bottom of the sixth, and they're losing 6-5. Bench everybody. Get them all. Why is he still pitching? Get him out of the game.
Who's God. Pitching?
Ramirez, 9 pitches, giving up 2 runs. I'm not a mathematician. That's not good.
Well, has he faced 3 batters yet?
9 pitchers. No. 9 pitches. That's why. 9 pitches, 4 of them. 4 of them are balls. 5 of them are balls. 6 of them are balls. Oh my God, I hate baseball. Anyway, the Cubs are just running it up on the Pirates, who have a slew of divisional games coming up. And this would have been a great time to go on a run. How are the White Sox doing? Because I think I know where you're going to go in segments with it, so I don't want to talk about that. But how?
Well, no, that's not where I was going to go in segments. But,
not with the White Sox.
Oh, the White Sox are terrible. And they're facing the Dodgers right now, which is not exciting for me, to say the least. And, I mean, the series is going exactly how I thought it would. Lance Lynn pitched the first game, and it was really sad to see, because Lance Lynn was once a White Sox player I really liked, and you've just seen – ever since he had his knee surgery, you see he's lost all of his stuff. And he's a pitcher who's aging and is rapidly losing his stuff. And he's rapidly losing it on my favorite baseball team, which sucks to see. Gave up 2 home runs in the first inning against the Dodgers, who are just the most opposite team to the White Sox that I could ever think of. They just do everything correctly, and the White Sox do everything incorrectly from top to bottom. Cool. Like when it goes like all the way down to the minor leagues, they develop players well. They invest in development. They invest in analytics. They are run exactly how you want, and they spend money on big name talent. And they, when big name players are available, they go out and get them. Which is the White Sox are. They don't do any of those things. They do zero of those things. And that's what make, like, if you do one of those things really well, you could be a good team. If you do multiple of those things really well, you could be like the best team in baseball. And the Dodgers do all those things great. And all it comes down to is just like a little bit more investment from the front office, which just doesn't happen.
No, why would you get
with teams that we support, unfortunately.
No.
And look at the Rays. Like the Rays, they don't spend a lot of money, but
yep.
They invest very well in their minor league organizations, in international spending and analytics, and they're the best team in baseball right now. So that's where I'm at with the White Sox. There's just really no hope until you get an owner who's willing to invest in the team. And he owns two of my favorite teams, which means he's holding back two of my favorite teams, which sucks. But let's get into segments. I'll start with our fan base of the week because this does include some more baseball talk. It's Oakland A's fans because they organized a reverse boycott against ownership. The whole thing is like the ownership has basically been saying we're moving, and it's because you know we can't get enough fans to show up to the games, and fans are saying we're not showing up to games because we have an awful ballpark, an awful owner, and an owner who is unwilling to put a good product on the field. And that's 100% true. That all they do every single year is trade away their best players. They have not renovated their stadium in decades, and they have wild animals living in the visitors' booth. There's a possum living in there. They can't announce games from the visitors' booth. Is crazy. So they organized a reverse boycott. They broke their attendance record for the season.
Yep.
It was
that wasn't hard to do.
Yeah, not hard to do at all. But thousands of fans showed up to the game. They stayed silent during the fifth inning until like the last out was, and they all started chanting "sell the team." And the pitcher for the A's thought there was a problem with PitchCom because he couldn't hear anything. That's how loud the stadium got. And then after the game, they all threw trash onto the field.
Yeah.
So it was a really successful reverse boycott. And it had to be really awkward to be like in the booth where you can't say anything negative as like the A's announcer because you're like, oh, the fans are starting to get loud here. And
yeah.
They're getting loud because they're chanting "sell the team."
And here's the thing. Here's my thing. I get it. I love it. I love the gesture. You just put money directly into the owner's pocket.
Yeah. It's like, tough. Well, it's one game that they did it. Like, still, like, you want to show up and at least support the team on the field because the guys on the field, they're not. It's not their fault. It's not their problem. And also what they're doing is, like, they're not going to – they're moving to Vegas. Vegas just approved – the city just approved a plan to build a new stadium for the Oakland A's. So they're 100% gone. It's too late for that. But what they're showing is, like, if MLB is ever going to expand a little bit, they could be a destination for an expansion team if they're able to renovate their stadium or get a new stadium.
True. I do. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't follow very closely, I guess, with the Oakland A's. I saw they were going to sell, or they were selling shirts that said "sell the team," which I absolutely love. So I love it. I love the move. I like when fans can all rally around something. So that was going to be my leader in fan base of the week as well, just because it was fantastic. So let me see. Where do I want to go with my fan base of the week? I'm going to have to go with Vegas Golden Knights fans.
Wow. Wow.
Yep. They won.
Sorry, I took the A's away from you because that has to hurt.
So they won the Stanley Cup, and I really don't like you. I don't think you exist, but I'm going to give you a fake award in case you do exist.
Whoa.
So,
whoa, we're calling Fan Base of the Week a fake award?
This one is, because it doesn't... This one's fake.
Okay.
Yours wasn't fake. Mine, okay. I'm making it fake.
Gotcha.
Giving them a fake one right now. It doesn't even exist. All boom. Right. What's next, Kellen?
Let's go Player of the Week.
Player of the Week. My Player of the Week, I have three of them. Guess wow. How many of their names I know? Absolutely none of them. Yeah. Are they still alive? I don't know. Wouldn't surprise me if they're not. It's the Texas outfielders. Because one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen in the history of sports happened. I understand why. We can talk about the logistics of why it happened and how it's not really their fault. But I don't want to do that. I really don't.
Let's go. Lay into them, man.
Texas and Stanford, they were playing each other in the Super Regional for a chance to go to the College World Series.
Hey,
it is
all those words that you said were correct right there.
Yep. Ninth inning. We're in the bottom of the ninth. Stanford's up to bat, two outs. Was the runner on first and second, runners on first and second. There was one before this. Yes. So there was one out. Stanford guy comes up, absolutely ropes one. Looks like it's going to be gone. A great catch made by the Texas outfielder. Robs a home run, essentially. Hits the Pac-12 logo. Hit the Pac-12 logo.
Yeah, just double off the wall.
Yep, double off the wall. Looked like it was going to go out. Great. Okay, first and second. Two outs. Here we go. Pop fly. Now, you're probably sitting there assuming I'm going to talk about extra innings after this because I'm giving the rundown of the game. It's the bottom of the ninth. Two outs, and there's a pop fly. Nope. Instead, what happened is nobody except for Texas's second baseman or shortstop, maybe both of them, saw where the ball went. All of the outfielders were just standing there looking up. Kudos to Stanford's dugout. I believe it was Stanford's on the first baseline, right? I think their dugout was.
Yeah.
Yes. Kudos to their dugout because they saw, like, the batter just popped it up. And he was kind of just doing the lollygag to first base. Stanford's dugout noticed Texas's outfield had no idea where the ball was and, like, kind of told him, like, go. And it was great base running by the guys on second, first and second.
Well, not really. There were two outs, so they were running on
I know, but, like, but again, it was a pop out. You could have just stopped because you assumed it was going to get caught.
Well,
like,
you run on contact hard, especially in that situation, either way.
I understand that. The guy who hit the ball was not going to run hard. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
like,
I got you on that. Yeah.
This was a play that, like, you usually are just assuming it's going to get caught. It's a routine play. You maybe are like, you're going to run hard, and then you're going to look over your shoulder and see, like, did he drop it? Did he not drop it? What is it? Like, rarely does it happen as well as it did. Great communication from the Stanford bench. They're not my players of the week. It's the outfielders in Texas because it was horrendous. It was hideous. It was embarrassing. And then I actually do have a tweet of the week, and okay. I want to bring this up.
Can I at least explain just a little bit more of what happened?
Yes.
On that, they did lose the ball in the lights. Okay, why the ball was dropped.
Kellen, I said before, there's a logical reason for this.
Oh no!
I didn't want to mention it.
Oh.
Because the lights at Stanford's baseball stadium are maybe be lower than most lights at a baseball diamond.
You
shouldn't
have let me cut you off. That's on you. That's
so,
on you for letting me cut you
hypothetically,
off.
If you really wanted to read into it, you may find out that Stanford's baseball stadium, the lights are not as high as most baseball stadiums. So the ball can go higher than the lights, which then makes it very difficult to see the baseball.
Gotcha.
But the reason I wasn't going to bring that up goes into my tweet of the week that I need to do now.
Let's
because
hear
it. It came from like a Texas, fan account. I don't know if it was a Barstool Texas, whatever, like one of those types of accounts, because Texas A&M dropped an infield pop-up that prevented them from going to play Texas in the super regional and like put Stanford through, I believe is how it worked. And so they put out a tweet trolling them that was like, catch the ball if you're going to go play Texas in the super regional. And it was the Texas A&M guy dropping the ball. That's my tweet of the week.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I know it wasn't affiliated with the Texas baseball team, but it's still, it's karma. Karma sucks.
It is.
And it's fantastic. So yes, maybe the lights might have been too low per normal regulation.
Oh, you were supposed to say the lights were too bright right there. Come on. You missed the perfect opportunity.
I did. Kellen, give me your fan or your player of the week and your tweet of the week. Rapid fire.
So my player of the week is the Miami Heat mascot who got sent to the emergency room.
Yep, that was a close one for me.
By Conor McGregor. They were doing like some halftime skit, and basically McGregor was supposed to punch him, and he full on punched him. And
then
he
stood over him and punched him again.
Yeah, he punched him to the ground. It looked pretty painful. I'm like, okay, I'm glad I'm not the Heat mascot. At least that's over. And then he does a finishing punch, like when you knock a dude out and like the ref hasn't stopped the fight yet and you're trying to get in that last punch. He did that to a mascot for a little skit and he sent him to the emergency room. The Miami Heat staff had to pull McGregor away. So UFC fighters are truly like different breeds. Like if you ever want to just like, hey, do something fun, play a little game with them, don't. Because apparently they just can't turn it
you
off.
Can't. No, what you need to do is you got to go out and get like, you need a tough guy or something from your sport. Or like a hockey player, so you'd be able to land a punch. You could bring like Darren McCarty out there at a Red Wings game, do it. It would be fine. Clearly you cannot use UFC fighters because their wires possibly will cross and you'll just be screwed.
And what's super evident is Conor McGregor, why that's super evident is Conor McGregor is he is on the Ultimate Fighter as one of the coaches now.
He can still chuck him.
And yeah, he could. And he's taking steroids now too, which he's so he's massive. And like you see just the mindset that these guys have. And he was talking to one of the guys he's training. He's like, when you feel pain, you like grab it out of your body. And now you it's out of your arm and you're holding it in your hand. And once you have it in your hand, you just throw it away. And now you don't feel pain anymore. And I'm convinced like that actually does work for him. And that's crazy because that shouldn't work. That's not how pain works. That's not how getting injured works. But that's how like these fighters think. And they're just like psychopaths. They're different creatures. And
I love it.
You have to be if you're going to be in the UFC and be like successful UFC fighter. So, and then I'll go with my tweet of the week here. My tweet of the week comes from a Bengals player from a couple years ago, Andrew Hawkins. You're going to like this, Josh. Don't worry. He says, 26 years ago, the whole sports world was talking about MJ's flu game, and they haven't stopped since. But no one ever talks about mine. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but you do have to ask yourself why. My second year in the league, wild card playoffs versus the Texans, I got sick as heck, 102-degree temperature. Had to switch my room so I wouldn't get AJ Green sick. All I was thinking is, I'm going MJ flu game on him. I had two catches for 15 yards and a fumble, and we lost. And he's the reason that they lost. So,
that's MJ amazing. Flu game
right there.
That is fantastic. I love it.
Oh man, the Mets just got.
Yeah, I turned
second.
I turned that. On. I turned it on.
Bases loaded. How do you let that happen?
Oh, Frank's gonna be so upset. Oh,
I thought he might have gotten in there though.
Oh, he might be in there.
Let's see.
Oh, they just showed a great angle.
It's close. They might have got him on the.
You can't tell, but he didn't. Oh, I think he's safe. When they go super, super close and zoomed in, I think he's safe, but there's not conclusive evidence.
Yeah, you're not going to overturn that. Unless you're the Yankees, because the White Sox played the Yankees last week, and they got the – like, they were not only – there was just a call that should have been confirmed, and it was overturned, and it was absolutely ridiculous. It was the ultimate fix was in. But let's finish off the show here, Josh, which is Coach of the Week. Who do you have?
Coach of the Week. So my Coach of the Week is actually not a coach. It is – The new Pittsburgh Penguins general manager, Jason Spezza. How do I feel about it, you ask? No.
I thought they hired a Maple Leafs dude.
So they, well, am I happy about it, you might ask? Not really. Here's exactly why. A few weeks ago, what did they do? They hired Kyle Dubas, the former GM of the Maple Leafs, to be their president of hockey operations.
Oh.
Kyle Dubas now hires Jason Spezza. And Jason Spezza worked with him with the Leafs. So now he's just bringing all of the pieces.
Yeah, it's a little too much Leaf culture there.
Yeah, he's bringing all the pieces that just failed in Toronto. And he's bringing them to my favorite team. So I'm a little bit nervous, but positive vibes only. Positive vibes only. I'm going to go Jason Spezza. You might be a good GM.
Okay. Okay, maybe.
I will be calling for your head immediately.
Yeah, it could just be that Toronto is absolutely cursed.
I hope.
My coach of the week, I'm going to go with Eric Spoelstra, who has now lost three straight NBA finals.
That takes talent.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes talent
to get there.
Has anyone ever lost four?
Four straight?
Yeah.
I don't know, actually. Probably. I don't know. Probably not, actually. It's tough to do.
Why are we asking a question? Can the Nuggets make a dynasty? Can Spoelstra lose in the finals again next year, Kelly?
Yeah, he absolutely can. Absolutely, he can. That could be a dynasty.
Dynasty.
Eastern Conference.
The dynasty of losing.
Yeah, we don't talk about losing dynasties enough.
No.
Hey, maybe our 30 for 30 will be the Four Falls of Buffalo.
Yes, we could do that.
We'll see.
We could do that. So, yes, next week, Kellen and I will be watching a 30 for 30. It would be helpful.
Or E60.
Yes. It would be helpful if we were able to tell you what it was so you could watch it too. But you're not. No, we're going to surprise you for the first one. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What if we just both watch? We go in the E60 library and we both watch whatever like comes to mind. And we just see how many weeks in a row it takes for us to watch the same one.
So, let's see how bad, like how low quality we can make this podcast, really.
I think
we'll just be talking about two different things.
I think it would be hysterical.
Yeah, in my documentary, this guy did this thing. Oh, yeah. Cool, I guess. I guess we're just not going to have a conversation about it.
No, we would give. No, we would do a recap of it. It would be fantastic. We're not doing that, everybody.
We'll do it. We'll watch different documentaries, and you have to recap mine, and I have to recap yours.
Yes.
We'll see how accurate we get it.
That would be fantastic. Great podcasting right there. But anyway, I do believe, Kellen, that might be our show. Do you have any closing notes for the fans?
No. I just, you know, I love you guys, I guess, and you're great for listening. So
yeah.
Appreciate it.
Have a great week, everybody. Stay unbiased this week, and we will see you all next week.
Twenty-one.